Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verses 33 to 48, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 10, verse 33. Mati swasreya vaschaya dantavakya shapanava parishita pravada vishno vipishapa parachita. Narada Muni continued, O best of Pandavas, your two cousins, Shishupala and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu, but because they were cursed by Brahmins, they fell from Vaikuntha to this material world. Purport. Shishupala and Dantavaka were not ordinary demons, but were formerly personal associates of Lord Vishnu. They apparently fell to this material world, but actually they came to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead by nourishing his pastimes within this world. So the real reason for their coming is for Leela. I'm going to read a few verses from the 15th chapter of 3rd canto, which explains what happened. 3:15:30. The four boy sages, who had nothing to cover their bodies but the atmosphere, looked only 5 years old, even though they were the oldest of all living creatures and had realized the truth of the self. But when the porters, who happened to possess a disposition quite unpalatable to the Lord, saw the sages, they blocked their way with their staffs, despising their glories, although the sages did not deserve such treatment at their hands. 31. When the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the chief doorkeepers of Shihari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Shihari, personality of Godhead. The sages said, "Who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position, and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably these two persons are impostors. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. When the doormen of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, found they were going to be cursed by the Brahmins, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of the Brahmins in great anxiety, for a Brahmana's curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. After being cursed by the sages, the doormen said, 'It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you, but we pray that due to your compassion and our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward.'" So then, in the next chapter, 3:16:36, the Lord replies, and he's describing how he feels about this. "O Brahmanas, know that the punishment you inflicted on them was originally ordained by me. Therefore, they will fall to a birth in a demoniac family, but they will be firmly united with me in thought through mental concentration, intensified by anger, and they will return to my presence shortly." So they will be connected with Krishna in anger, concentration on anger. 3:16:36. Because Krishna wanted to fight, he needed somebody to fight with, and there was no one else except his devotee, and they wanted to please Krishna, and so they agreed to go and fight with him. Now, Jiva Goswami gives some comments on this, how the Lord was feeling. When Lord Krishna considered, this is from Krishna Sundarbha, when Lord Krishna considered how Putana and other demons had already become liberated, he began to suspect that perhaps Kalanemi and the other remaining demons will not attain liberation. This possibility became completely intolerable for the Lord. This astonishing transcendental nature of the Lord Krishna is described by Parashar Muni at the end of his prose description of the Lord's opulence. This is quoted from Vishnu Purana. "Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna freely gave liberation to the demons who, although full of hatred for him, somehow became immersed in remembering him or talking about him. If the Lord gave to these demons liberation, which is ordinarily very difficult for them, or even demigods or anyone to achieve, how shall we be able to describe the benediction he gave to the pure devotees who are full of love for him? So Jiva Goswami makes a point. Jaya and Vijaya were cursed to take three births as demons, and they were ultimately liberated by Krishna. And he says, their liberation was possible only from the hand of Krishna and not from any other form of the Lord. So only by Krishna could they get liberation. That's why they took three births. And another point that Jiva Goswami made is the three births was to predict Krishna's appearance. Because unless Krishna came and killed them, they couldn't get liberated. So therefore, just the fact that they had three births was a prediction. Those who don't get liberation from other incarnations get liberation from Krishna. So this shows the superiority of Krishna, Jiva Goswami says. He says, because only Krishna can give liberation, Lord Narayan said it will take three births, waiting for Krishna. So this is, Lord Brahma also says in 2734, this is quoted by Jiva Goswami, all demonic personalities like Pralamba, Tenuka, Bhaka, Keshi, Arista, Charna, Mushtika, Kuvalayapada, Kamsa, Yavada, Narakashara, and he goes on and on and on, would all fight vigorously either with Lord Hari directly or with him under his names of Baladev, Arjuna, Bhima, etc. And the demons thus being killed would attain either impersonal Brahmajyoti or his personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. This is 2734, according to Jiva Goswami, what I copied. Again, Jiva keeps going over this point again and again. Only Lord Krishna will always grant liberation to the demons killed by him. If one is thinking of Lord Krishna, even adversely at the time of death, he will certainly become liberated. If one hatefully thinks of any other form of the Lord at the time of death, he may not necessarily become liberated. He may, and he may not. That's Jiva Goswami's comment here. And he gives Vena as an example, because he was unable to think of the form of Krishna, so he did not attain liberation. One who at the time of death meditates on the Lord in a spirit of animosity is only assured of liberation if the object of his meditation is specifically the form of Sri Krishna. So he says it again, 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 again. Jiva Goswami and Krishna Sandarbha. So therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna. So we'll go on in the verses. Verse 34, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, what kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu Bhaktas, and what sort of person could curse even the Lord's associates? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again to this material world is impossible. I cannot believe this. Yudhisthira is astonished. How could they fall? 35. The bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life here. Therefore, kindly explain how associates of the personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in material bodies like ordinary persons. Well, one explanation we heard in the last class from Sridhar Swami is they had spiritual bodies. They didn't take material bodies. Here it says they had material bodies in this Deha Sambandha, Sambhadam. Bondage. So Prabhupada, at the end of paragraph 1, he says, the Lord comes to this material world through the agency of his internal potency. Similarly, when a devotee or associate of the Lord descends to this material world, he does so through the action of the spiritual energy. So Srila Prabhupada seems to be saying the same thing here, that they descended by the spiritual energy, Yogamaya. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jaya and Vijaya descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. Of course, a living entity who desires Sayuja Mukti remains in Krishna's Brahman effulgence, which is dependent on Krishna's body, Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham. Such an impersonalist who takes shelter of the Brahman effulgence must surely fall down. Yenye vavindaksha vimuktamanina stayasta bhava vishuddha buddhaya aluyakachena paramparantaka O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure, even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities. They are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. The impersonalists cannot reach the Vaikuntha planets to become associates of the Lord. Therefore, according to their desires, Krishna gives them Sayuja Mukti. However, since Sayuja Mukti is partial mukti, they must fall again to this material realm. When it is said the individual soul falls from Brahmaloka, this applies to the impersonalist. From authoritative sources, it is learned that Jaya and Vijaya were sent to this material world to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight. So, this is also confirmed by Jiva Goswami. He quotes Bhagavatam 3:16:29. The Lord said to Jaya and Vijaya, "Depart from this place, but fear not. All glories to you. Although I am capable of nullifying the Brahman's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval." That is from Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. I don't know which Sandarbha. The verse is 3:16:29, according to what it says in Jiva Goswami Sandarbha. He says, the Lord says, although I am capable of nullifying the curse, I will not do so. It has my approval. So this means that it was a pretext, what Jiva Goswami says. Their being cursed was simply a pretext. The Lord's pastimes were the actual reason. And he uses that verse to prove that point, that it was not that they were cursed. It was just a pretext, an excuse for the Lord to have pastimes. So then again, yeah, exactly. In order to attract the minds of the devotees with his transcendental pastimes, the Lord desired to fight great heroic battles with certain demons. In order to fulfill this desire of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya three times accepted the bodies of kings. The bodies they accepted were splendidly effulgent and fully invested with anima and other mystic powers. They were not ordinary bodies. No, they were not. That's Jiva Goswami's comment and from the Sandarbhas. So verse 36, the great saint Narada said, "Once upon a time, when the four sons of Lord Brahma, named Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumara, were wandering throughout the three worlds, they came by chance to Vishnuloka. Although these four great sages were older than Brahma's other sons like Marichi, they appeared like small naked children, only 5 or 6 years old. When Jaya and Vijaya saw them trying to enter Vaikuntha Loka, these two gatekeepers, thinking them ordinary children, forbade them to enter." Now, the end of the purport of 37, Srila Prabhupada says, after that quote, "The purport is that the personal associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka are always liberated souls. Even if sometimes cursed or blessed, they are always liberated and never contaminated by the material modes of nature. Before their liberation to Vaikuntha Loka, they possessed material bodies." So here he says they have material bodies, but it's under the Yoga Maya, even though they have material bodies. "But once they come to Vaikuntha, they no longer have them. Therefore, even if the associates of Lord Vishnu sometimes descend as if cursed, they are always liberated." Okay, that was before and after. 38. "Thus checked by the doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijaya, Sanandana and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. 'You two foolish doorkeepers,' they said, 'being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Mother Dvisa's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras.' While Jaya and Vijaya, thus cursed by the sages, were falling to the material world, they were addressed as follows by the same sages, who were very kind to them. 'O doorkeepers, after three births, you will be able to return to your positions in Vaikuntha, for then the duration of the curse will have ended. These two associates of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, later descended to the material world, taking birth as the two sons of Diti, Hiranyakashipu being the elder and Hiranyaksha the younger. They were very much respected by the Daityas and Danavas, demonic species. Appearing as Nrisimhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Hari killed Hiranyakashipu, and the Lord delivered the planet Earth, which had fallen in the Garbhatak ocean. Hiranyaksha tried to hinder him, and then the Lord, as Varaha, killed Hiranyaksha. Desiring to kill his son Prahlad, who was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu tortured him in many ways. The Lord, the Super Soul of all living entities, is sober, peaceful, and equal to everyone. Since the great devotee Prahlad was protected by the Lord's potency, Hiranyakashipu was unable to kill him, in spite of endeavoring to do so in various ways. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a very important purport to understand why the Lord seems to punish someone. In this verse, the word sarvabhutatma bhutam is very significant. Ishara sarvabhutanam hideshe junatishtati. The Lord is equally situated in the core of everyone's heart. Thus, he cannot be envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. For him, everyone is the same. Although he is sometimes seen to punish someone, this is exactly like a father's punishing his child for the child's welfare. Supreme Lord's punishment is also a manifestation of the Lord's equality. Therefore, the Lord is described as Prashantam Samadarshanam. Although the Lord has to execute his will properly, he is equipoised in all circumstances. He is equally disposed toward everyone. So when the Lord punished Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj said, although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. So he got a very heavy punishment. Although he gave everything to the Lord, he was bound up with ropes, he was cursed by his spiritual master, and everyone was chastising him. But even in that condition, he offered his head to the Lord, Atmani Vedanam. So in that purport, Prabhupada says, punishment given by the Lord is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bhujan vipatma kitam vipakam idvagvapurbir viragan namaste jive payomukti pade sadayana. One who seeks your compassion and tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. So here again, the devotee's mentality. Prabhupada says, a devotee knows so-called punishment is by the Lord is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. It cannot be compared to the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. So Prabhupada says, punishment by Krishna is better than anything that your own relatives can do for you. If Krishna takes away everything from you, or Krishna does something like that, so that is mercy. 88.8, yes. Yasyam anugrihnami harishe tad tanam shanai. Yes. And that purport is also very nice. Yes. Yeah, okay. The question is, how should we see an adverse condition which impeding our devotional activities? In third canto, there's a purport where it says, well, not third canto. There was one in third, but in sixth canto we read last year. There was one very nice purport. I think it was in the ninth chapter. It says that the Hlinini Shakti in this world, it becomes the opposite. It becomes disturbing. Yeah, Hlada Tapa Kari Mishra. It's mixed. When we try to enjoy in this world, then the spiritual potency, Hladini, is mixed, and we suffer. And so in that purport, Prabhupada's very wonderful purport, which I can't remember the number, but the essence is that the devotee, he sees the impediments as the energy of Krishna, and he uses the impediments to come closer to Krishna. In other words, he engages those adverse conditions in Krishna's service and uses that the same thing that is impeding you, you use it to advance. Yeah, you can use tamagun, you can use rajagun, and it will transform into devotion. If you use it in devotional service, then it transforms. Yes? Oh, yeah, what example? I forgot it. Prem Sarovar.
There was a kund.
Okay, a devotee was, oh yeah, a devotee was sitting by the Prem Sarovar.
And the fruit is he landed on his cloth.
One bird's day's meal. The devotee was taking rest. There was a bird. And
so
the bird.
The devotee looked at all.
And he got all this bird stool on his clothes.
Then he decided
to go and bathe in Prem Sarovar.
Turn the misfortune into fortune.
Yeah, so that's, you have to see how to turn your misfortune into the greatest fortune, to please Krishna. And that's very hard, so you pray. You have to pray and get help and whatever. It's hard for us to see the way. Yes. One of the characteristics of pure devotional service, ahaitukiya patihata, cannot be checked by any condition. Yes, we may think, oh, this is a problem, that's a problem, that's only problem, only one problem, and that's our mind. That we're seeing it's a problem, but actually it's Krishna is sending it for us to become purified and engage in his service with more strength. Yes. Okay, devotees had formed three circles around Lord Chaitanya when he was dancing at Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Okay, in the second circle was Srivas.
And the outer circle,
King Prataparudra and his men.
And his assistant,
assistants, Harichandan.
So, the ecstasy of Shri.
Yeah, he was fixed on the form of Lord Chaitanya.
And he was blocking Maharaj Prataparudra's view.
Yeah, he's blocking the view of the king.
So
he was in the way.
Right,
he was trying to get Srivas to move out of the way.
So then,
he slapped
Harichandan. So then, but you're so fortunate.
You got the touch of Srivas Thakur. Yes.
So then,
sometimes we're trying to do our service and we're slapped by another devotee. Burijan's comment on this.
That's oftentimes.
They put us in a conscious, I'm not a controller.
I have to be more dependent on Krishna.
It can have the effect of deepening your devotion if you go that way.
Right.
Or you can go in the mode of ignorance and lament, and or you can go in the mode of passion, and you can do so many. You can have so many responses to the situation, lamentation, or else be in the mode of passion, anger, or whatever. Or the mode of goodness, tolerate, or...
Then also see the devotee, the slapper, as an instrument of the Lord.
Okay, one who's slapping is the instrument of the Lord. Remember that. One who's giving you trouble, or... is the instrument of the Lord, trying to tell you something. Until you learn your lesson, then he'll keep slapping. That's my experience. You will keep getting the same test again and again, until you really surrender and take shelter of Krishna full-heartedly. Find the shelter which is beyond this material world. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were seeing the form of Krishna. Yeah. Why didn't they go to Goloka? Because they went back to their... They were already in Vaikuntha and then they were very happy there. Everyone has their own taste. And so... Krishna is the supreme form, but for them, I'm sure Narayan is there. Yeah, they were even in Gaur Lila with Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath Madhai. I don't know if they went back. I hope not. I hope they didn't go back as Jai Vijay. Jai Vijay, yeah. I thought you said Jagannath Madhai. Yes, they went back as Jai Vijay, yes. Yeah, but even in here it'll say they went back after Krishna Lila. We'll find, I'll read that today, that they went back after Krishna Lila. Yes? Okay. Anyway, when you go there, you'll find out, Prabhupada used to say. If they're there, you'll meet them and you can ask them all about it. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question. This is the last question and then we'll go on.
No, I actually have a comment.
Oh, you have a comment. Okay, very nice.
About...
Punishment is good because it makes me pray more. So we can see it like that. It makes me pray more to Krishna when I'm in that position, difficult position. Okay, thank you for that. Now I have something from one of Prabhupada's books. EA, whatever that means. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I got it from one of Prabhupada's. I got it from Folio. Now, this is described what happens if we don't surrender to Krishna and how we get punished and who is the agent is Mahamaya Durga. She is called Dasabuja with different kinds of weapons in her hands to punish. And there's a very famous picture of Mahishasura, and she is standing on his stomach and piercing him with a trident. Who is also her son, as every living entity is. Mahishasura is attacked by the mother serpent of time on the head and the itch of passion on the body. Moreover, Mahishasura is attacked with her trident pierced on the chest. So this is how Maya is attacking everyone. Thus, the representative demon, Mahishasura, is embarrassed in a manner from which he is unable to get out. When the demon is thus set right and surrenders to her will, Mahamaya manifests her real entity in the form Mahalakshmi, engaged in the eternal service of Sri Narayan. And at that time, she gives her son all facilities for the service of the father, assisted with all opulence, all power, all fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. The example of Ravana and Hanuman may be given here. Both of them are sons of the potency of Godhead. One of them tried to snatch Sri Sita Devi from the service of Ram, while Sri Hanuman tried to rescue Sri Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. By such different treatment of two different sons, Ravana was announced as the Asura, while Hanuman is famous as the foremost devotee of Sri Ramchandra. From these examples, we can conclude our ideal shall be Sri Hanumanji and not Ravana, who was vanquished in spite of his possessing all material facilities of wealth, followed by knowledge, beauties, fame, etc. So the punishment of Maya is much worse than the punishment of Krishna. Maya's punishment, the serpent of time, the itch of passion, and the trident pierced in the chest, heart, so much pain in the heart. And it's coming from the trident of Maya. So now we know where it's coming from when we forget Krishna. And when we remember Krishna, then it's all coming from Krishna. So there was an interesting thing on BTG, on Folio, and this is Hrijananda Swami is speaking, Goswami. They were talking about all the cows in America, and he was saying how whoever ships the meat, the cows, who people who prepare it, who eat it, all they're all punished. So Hrijananda Maharaj gives a very nice example here. If someone is a little advanced in spiritual awareness, he doesn't just see a cow in a tree in a barn. He sees who's who has done what. How could people think God will permit a big slaughterhouse drag in millions and millions of poor innocent animals crying and screaming and kill them? How do you think this will go unpunished? The fools, the government leaders, may be fond of thinking they can simply pass some law. Yes, we approve. They stamp it. Everyone signs. They give up the fountain pens. Now it is legal to kill cows. These fools can say whatever they want, but God is not a fool like them. They may be very proud. I'm a U.S. senator. I'm a congressman. But God will simply take this rascal, and when he dies, he'll stick him on a beef farm. He says, okay, you think this is nice? Now you try it. You try it. So for example, if a mother comes and sees her big child is harassing her small child and slapping him, she'll say, oh, then I will slap you. So this is an example how people get punished in the material world. And he was giving this example to one guest. If one child is much bigger and slapping the smaller child, the father and mother will protect the smaller child. So isn't that natural? Is that unfair? Is something wrong? And so this is what's happening in this material world. Everyone's being slapped. So I have a comment from the Sundarbhas again by Jiva Goswami. And this comment is in relationship to this Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were Jai and Vijay, but in Vaikuntha they committed Vaishnava Aparad. At least that's what the four Kumaras, how they felt. And the Lord also supported that. So this is what happens if you commit Vaishnava Aparad according to Jiva Goswami. So beware. If some devotees, this is Paramatma Sundarbha, if some devotees commit offenses to other devotees, the offenders burn for a long time in the volcanic fires of hatred, to not only other devotees, but even to the Supreme Lord himself. So this is Vaishnava Parad. They burn in the volcanic fires of hatred. After some time, they receive the angry touch of the Supreme Lord. The angry touch. And that way, their offenses become destroyed and they attain the feet of the Lord at the end. Such devotees do not attain impersonal liberation, for they are protected by the eternal nature of devotional service they have already performed. In this way, the Lord is just like a mother angry with her children. Thus, the Lord's actions are right, just, and good.
So that was volcanic fire
of hatred, yes. Volcanic fires of hatred to other devotees and to the Lord, Jiva Goswami says.
From offense
to other Vaishnavas. Okay, verse 44. Oh, did we read 43 by? Yes, we did. Verse 44. Thereafter, the same Jai and Vijay, the two doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Vishava in the womb of Keshini. They were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. Narada Muni continued, "My dear king, just to relieve Jaya and Vijaya of the Brahmana's curse, Lord Ramchandra appeared in order to kill Ravana and Kumbhakarna. It will be better for you to hear narrations about Lord Ramchandra's activities from Markandeya. But we will hear about this in the ninth canto from Shukadeva Goswami." Verse 46. In their third birth, the same Jai and Vijay appeared in a family of Kshatriyas, as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are free from the curse in their third birth. End of the purport. Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupala re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. So Prabhupada says they went back to their position as Jai and Vijay after being killed by Krishna. And this is explained somewhere. We'll get to it.
I think in an earlier purport, didn't it say they first went to Sayuja Mukti?
Yeah, Sayuja. Well, that's what I have here.
Yeah.
And also I have here's a comment in Krishna Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. When Shishupala and Dantavraka were killed by Lord Krishna, they attained Sayuja Mukti, merging into the body of the Lord. However, when the Lord's earthly pastimes were concluded and the Lord had returned to his own abode in the spiritual world, Shishupala and Dantavakra also returned with him and resumed their original posts as personal associates of the Lord. So that's what Jiva Goswami says. They got Sayuja, and then when Krishna left this world, then they also left with him and went to Vaikuntha. Because they merged in his body, so his body, he went and they went along with him. Because they were with him already. They were with him. And they just went back to their own posts. 47. These two associates of Lord Vishnu, Jaya and Vijaya, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home, back to Godhead. So Shukadeva and Narada Muni agrees. They went back to Godhead. Parshara, Vishnu Parshara. Gatekeepers. Purport. Whatever their position, certainly Jaya and Vijaya always thought of Krishna. Therefore, at the end of the Maushala Leela, these two associates of the Lord returned to Krishna. So Prabhupada said the same thing here in this purport that we just read from Jiva Goswami. At the end of Maushala Leela, these two associates returned. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Narayan's body. Therefore, although they visibly entered the body of Krishna, they actually re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. Through Lord Krishna's body, they returned to Vaikuntha, although they seem to have attained Sayuja Mukti in Krishna's body. So, but Prabhupada says it wasn't immediate at the end of the Maushala Leela. They went, not immediately, they went to Vaikuntha. They waited, yes, Jagaya Matai. Yeah, I don't know, but they were, I heard they are Jai and Vijay. They're Jai and Vijay. It's not in Bhagavatam, that's for sure. Where is it? Okay, you can research. Do some research, the previous, how they became Jagaya Matai. So I have another thing here from Jiva Goswami and Krishna Sandarbha. And it said that Lord Shirdakshai Vishnu entered the body of Lord Krishna when he incarnated on this earth, just as Jaya and Vijaya did when they were killed by the Lord. So it's like Krishna's body has all the incarnations. Shirdakshai Vishnu was there. All the Vishnu incarnation, everyone came when Krishna came. And they came with him. And there's a proof of this, which Jiva Goswami cites from the Hari Vansha in Vishnu Parva. Observing that Lord, one time, Shirdakshai Vishnu's crown was stolen by the demons. And Garuda attacked the thieves, killed them, and recovered the Lord's crown. As all this was happening, Lord Shirdakshai Vishnu descended to earth, where Lord Krishna was performing his pastimes, and entered Lord Krishna's body. In this way, Lord Shirdakshai Vishnu appeared during Lord Krishna's incarnation. So Garuda, he went to look for Shirdakshai Vishnu, and he couldn't find him in the spiritual world, because he had left and come over here to Vrindavan. So Garuda was looking everywhere, and finally he found Shirdakshai Vishnu manifested within the form of Lord Krishna, who was then enjoying pastimes on the peak of Gomanta Mountain. And then he returned his master's crown, gave it to Krishna. So that shows that not only, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. Vishnu was also, Shirdakshai Vishnu was also in Krishna's body. All the forms. 48. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, "Oh my Lord Narada Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakashipu and his beloved son Prahlad Maharaj? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna? Kindly explain this to me." Purport. All the devotees of Lord Krishna are called Achyutatma because they follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Achyuta refers to the infallible Lord Vishnu, whose heart is always infallible. Because the devotees are attached to the infallible, they are called Achyutatma. So chapter 2, verse 1. Sri Narada Muni said, "My dear King Yudhisthira," now he's answering that question, why so much enmity? "When Lord Vishnu, in the form of Varaha, the boar, killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's brother Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and began to lament." So the enmity is because Vishnu killed his brother. That's why. Purport. Yudhisthira had inquired from Narada Muni why Hiranyakashipu was so envious of his own son, Prahlad. Narada Muni began narrating the story by explaining how Hiranyakashipu had become a staunch enemy of Lord Vishnu. So he's an enemy of Prahlad because Prahlad was worshipping Vishnu, and Vishnu was his enemy. So therefore he became the enemy of Prahlad. Verse 2. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu gazed at the sky with eyes that blazed in anger, making the whole sky smoky. Thus he began to speak. So this, we heard, is devotional service and anger, intensified by anger, concentration of the Lord. Verse 3, exhibiting his terrible teeth, fierce glance, and frowning eyebrows, terrible to see, he took up his weapon, a trident, and thus began speaking to his associates, the assembled demons. "O Danavas and Daityas, O Dvimurdha, Chyakshas, Shambara, and Shatavahu, Hayagriva, Namuchi, Paka, and Ilvula, O Vipachiti, Puloman, Shakuna, and other demons, all of you, kindly hear me attentively, and then act according to my words, without delay. 6. My insignificant enemies, the demigods, have combined to kill my very dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother Hiranyaksha. Although the Supreme Lord Vishnu is always equal to both of us, namely the demigods and demons, this time, being devoutly worshipped by the demigods, he has taken their side and helped them kill Hiranyaksha." Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains why the demigods are always victorious. One word. They have something. They have some quality. One word. Yes? Pious sattva. Guru bhakti. Yes?
Law abiding.
It's a quality. Yeah? Sincerity. They have sincerity. So all you need. The demigods. Why are the demigods always victorious? Or usually victorious. The Prabhupada says always. So in the purport, about three lines down, Srila Prabhupada says, "Actually, It is not possible for the Lord to be partial. Nonetheless, since the demigods... Yeah, okay, that's there. The devotees always strictly follow the Lord's orders. That was a good answer. Because of sincerity, they are victorious over the demons. Okay, they follow the Lord's orders because of sincerity. They are victorious over the demons who know the Supreme Lord is Vishnu, but do not follow his instructions. Okay, so that was a good answer, whoever said that. They strictly follow the Lord's orders. End of the purport. Demon Hiranyakashipu accused the Lord of being partial because the demigods worshipped him. But in fact, the Lord, like the government, is not partial at all. The government is not partial to any citizen, but if a citizen is law-abiding, he receives abundant opportunities from the state laws to live peacefully and fulfill his real interests. So the prisoners in the prison, the criminal, if you ask him what happened, he said, oh, actually, it's unfair, you know, I was innocent, or it was really unfair what they did. They never think that they're rightfully there. But actually, they didn't follow. They broke the law, and that's why they're there. And so if you're a law-abiding citizen, then you have nothing to fear. So remember yesterday's class, why the Lord is not partial. There were many reasons given. He's nirguna. He's above the modes. Bhagavan. Yes.
There's always a good happy hand for those who...
What's that?
There's always a good...
Okay, there's a spiritual benefit for even if you oppose him. Okay, so he's not partial. And the time factor enhances the sattva gun. What can he do? It's the time factor. Of course, time factor is under his control. But anyway, yes. Okay, so verses 7, 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality toward the demons and demigods. Interesting that Hiranyakashipu feels that the Lord is actually not partial. He's equal. He's not. Hiranyakashipu is saying that. The demon is saying he's equal to everyone. But somehow he's given it up. Although he is a Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, now that doesn't make sense, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. And it's true, he does lean towards the devotees. So he's speaking a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth in what he says. And Prabhupada will show how, yes, Krishna is just like a child in the purport. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who is so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. Is the Lord a restless child?
Yes.
Yes. He's very restless. His mother had a difficult time controlling him, but she finally managed to control her restless child. Okay? So Prabhupada explains by quoting a verse from Bhagavad Gita. This is in paragraph 3 of the purport. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Prabhupada said, yes, this is Krishna. You just give him some cakes and laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it says in Gita. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhakya payachati taraham bhakti paritam mishnami payatat manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So very simple. A leaf, a flower, fruit, and water. He's a restless child. He will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities, nonetheless, because he is very merciful and bhaktivatsala, very favorable to the devotees. He certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. And there is proof of this, that he only accepts what is offered with love. When Krishna was here, some people were offering him and he refused to accept those offerings. Who was that? Duryodhan, yes. He refused to accept an opulent feast And he accepted Vidura's or Yudhisthira's, some people say Vidura's, some people say Yudhisthira's, bananas, banana peels. Banana peels. Well, that is Krishna. Okay. The highest quality of the supreme... Okay, this quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is Bhaktavatsala, or in other words, he's always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word Maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. So Hiranyakashipu has said he's influenced by Maya. So the word Maya is there. So Prabhupada said, yes, there is Maya, but this Maya word means affection. He has affection for his devotees, and that is his Maya. That is his Yoga Maya. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. So all these actions favoring his devotees is not disqualifying, but it's actually proof of his affection for the Lord, for the devotees. Now he's going to talk about the blood, which Hiranyakashipu is talking. As for Rudhira, our blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there's no question of blood. Okay? But the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is as red as blood. When the demons achieve Sayuja Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. Isn't that beautiful? After attaining Sayuja Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord's garland prasad. So those demons are Jai and Vijay, who will be promoted to the spiritual world. And what does it say in Isha Upanishad? Something about the blood. The Lord has no veins. He has Asnaviram. Asnaviram. He has no veins, so he has no blood. But in the battle of Kurukshetra, there was blood. When Bhishma shot arrows, there was blood on his body, which Bhishma was appreciating. And he had shot the arrows at Krishna. But that was their rasa. And the arrows for Krishna, they were just like flowers, flower offerings, being pierced by Bhishma's arrows. So now Hiranyakashipu is going on about the demigods and Vishnu and how he's going to finish the demigods by finishing Vishnu. Verse 9. When the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. So he's always wants to get after the demigods. Now, what is the difference between demons and demigods? Prabhupada tells us. What is the difference between demons and demigods? We heard one difference, so they follow.
They are full dependence upon the mercy of the Lord.
Okay, the devotees are fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Okay, devotees don't plan. I mean, devotees try to plan, but after a while they realize it's useless to try and plan your life. Yashoda. They follow the instructions. So again, that's actually the same thing. The difference between demigods and demons is here explained. Demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. So there's glorification. Hiranyakashipu is actually glorifying the demigods for their dependence on Vishnu. Because if Vishnu is gone, if the root is gone, he understands the philosophy. Vishnu is the root of the tree. Vishnu is the root. Right. Skanda puja pishekha. Yes, we learned that year before last. Fourth canto. Okay, so he's the root. Hiranyakashipu knows the philosophy. But unfortunately, he wants to do the opposite. And that's why he's a demon. Verse 10. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. So that's the demon's program. Anyone who's good, doing something good, you destroy him. Destroy the Kshatriya government, destroy the Brahmins, they are the main things, the main support of the people. And then the people are doing austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, vows, charity, destroy all of them. So Varnashram, destroy the Varnashram Dharma. And we will see what his plan will be. Okay, if you destroy Varnashram, what is your plan? He will say, yes, we will reverse the results of pious and impious activities. In other words, if you do something bad, you will go to heaven. If you do something good, you will go to hell. Well, that's Hiranyakashipu's government, which he wants to implement. Purport, the beginning of the purport. We won't read this whole purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu so that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. Peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Okay? So Hiranyakashipu, his plan is to wipe out the entire Vedic culture, kill Vishnu, and the demigods will be finished. And that was his demoniac plan. So we'll stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? And don't ask me a question about how we fell from Vaikuntha. Except for that, you can ask any question. I know, it's all about it. Yes, Adi Purush. Sankirtan Yagya, okay. He's saying we need to worship the demigods, but the best sacrifice in this age is Sankirtan Yagya. Okay. Adi Purush's question is, what do the demigods eat if we do Harinam Sankirtan?
Aren't they hungry?
Aren't they hungry, yes. Well, we also offer prasad. When we go on Sankirtan, we distribute prasad. Prasad distribution. Food for life. Anybody from the heavenly planets here in your last life can tell us. My only understanding is, of course, along with Harinam, Prabhupada has implemented deity worship and so many other programs. And the demigods, they benefit by having Krishna prasadam. Prabhupada says they come to the temples. They come to take prasad sometimes, and also they eat through the bodies of others. So those who eat Krishna prasad, the demigods are indirectly benefiting. This I know from 10th canto when the demigods, Lord Brahma offers his prayers, and he says, "We 11 demigods, we are through the senses of the residents of Vrindavan, we are appreciating." We are like cups. So they are also, they are in our body. They're controlling parts of our bodies. And they are, we think we're enjoying, but actually they are also, when we take Krishna prasadam, and they won't eat non-veg, I'm sure. But the Krishna prasadam, they have their ways, I'm sure, of getting it. That's what I understand. Yes. Well, at Jagannath Puri, there's demigods' temples around, and they all get, Lord Shiva gets the prasad, the demigods get the prasad of Vimala Devi, Durga, they all get Jagannath prasad. And so they're not really going hungry. At Jagannath Puri, they eat. If there's nowhere else, they can go to Jagannath Puri and have their meal, and because they get the prasad of Vishnu. And in any, yes, yes. Shila of Vishnu, okay? Yeah, I was also thinking the same thing. The only hope for the demigods is the Sankirtan movement, and Sankirtan movement includes prasad distribution, Harinam, deity worship. Prabhupada, not only did he establish Harinam, he established the temples, he established all these things. So he's taking care of the demigods as well. He's taking care of everyone. By Prabhupada's mercy, everyone's getting fed. In this age of Kali, very difficult time. Yeah, now the demigods, this time when Hiranyakashipu, then they were really in trouble. They started wandering unseen. I think that's tomorrow's class. You know, when he starts implementing his plans and the demigods come down and see, you know, what's happening. Okay, yes, Siddhi?
Just that when you fall down to the red
food. About what? Fall down, uh-huh. Okay.
Just
text 35. Oh, there is controversy. What we have to do in questions like this, controversial questions, we have to see what was Prabhupada's mood, his main... You can't just answer from one section. Like, there are people who can take this quote and say, okay, we didn't fall. Then there are other places where they'll take a quote and they say, okay, we came from Goloka. But then you have to just see what was Prabhupada's main mood when he was asked this question. And that was that it was not an important question. And that you should just... Now we're in the material world. That was his mood, mostly, that we're here and just see how to get out. Go back. Yeah, we should see how to go back to Godhead and not worry how we got here. Some reason, and a lot of people, they... Srila Prabhupada especially, he didn't like this question for some reason. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't search for the answer here. It's lying in the spiritual world. One of the mysteries that you won't be able to solve until you go there. Yes, Dhamma Krishna. Yeah, right. He says, you fall, you don't fall, you fall, you don't fall. So you say, he's partial. Yeah, right. And then you get to say, oh, well, anyway, what? It's hopeless. It's Krishna's desire, I'm here, so let me be here and rot. But it's not Krishna's desire that you're here. He makes it clear in Bhagavad Gita, what is his desire? What's that verse Prabhupada quotes 100 million times? Another one. No, about the Lord's desire. What is the Lord's desire for us? Sarva dharma prityaja, mami kam sharanam vacha. Hang tang sarva papipyo, moksha ishami. His desire is that we surrender to him. Man mana bhavama bhakto majaji mam namaskaru. That is the Lord's desire, not that we come here. It's not his desire. It's our desire. We have our independence. We have our free will. And we used it to be in this imprisonment of false ego. And his desire, he expresses himself in Bhagavad Gita over and over. He wants us to come back. And Prabhupada explained, that's his desire. We think of him, become his devotee. Mam namaskaru, offer obeisances. That's his desire is we come to him, we come back, not that we stay here. And if we get into controversy on this question, then there will be sides. And in 7th canto, there's a very nice, in this 15th chapter, there's nice instructions about sannyas. And one of the instructions for someone who's in the sannyas order is he doesn't take sides. Don't take sides. So this is, and if you take sides of one Vaishnava against another, that's, I think, Chaitanya Bhagavat. If you take the side of one Vaishnava against another, then you'll go to hell. That's very bad to take sides. If somebody, like sometimes somebody would take the side of Advaita against Nityananda because they used to fight. So this is not good for your spiritual life. It's politics. Any other question or comment? If anyone, yes, Prabhu. Text 38, okay. Okay, he's cursed. No, we don't find it. We don't find passion and ignorance in Vaikuntha. But one thing we should understand also is that Vaikuntha is certainly a place, but Vaikuntha is also a consciousness. So because of your consciousness, you're in Vaikuntha. So somebody may be in Vaikuntha even in this world. So it's also possible that somebody may be steady in Vaikuntha, but also be influenced by passion and ignorance. But in this case, we know that it's the desire of the Lord. So therefore, it's not that there is passion and ignorance, but the desire of the Lord is there. So even though there's no passion and ignorance, if the Lord's desires, then there will be passion and ignorance to make his leela. And this leela, as we heard in so many verses, that it was the desire of the Lord, it was the Lord's leela. There weren't ordinary demons. And even in the first canto, we saw that Maharaj Pariksit, he was influenced by the lower modes, although he was above the modes. So how is that possible? How could Maharaj Pariksit become angry and put the snake on Samika Rishi's neck? He's not that kind of a person. He was beyond the modes of nature. So it was the Lord's desire. Because we see after he gave up everything immediately, he was not in the modes. He gave up his kingdom. He came sat by the bank of the Ganga. He fasted for 7 days. That time he was hungry and thirsty. And because he was hungry and thirsty, he put the snake. But this time now he's fasting for 7 days without food and water. So how can such a person be angry because he's hungry and thirsty? It's not in his character. And so therefore in that case it was the desire of the Lord for some lila. If the Lord desires, then anything can happen. By the Lord's desire. He can break all the laws of the spiritual and material worlds. He's not under the laws. Yes, and Vaikuntha, there is no passion and ignorance. Well, if the Lord desires, then. But of course, it's also another thing is that these sages, it's their perception of the doorkeepers. They're seeing passion and ignorance. So it's not necessarily that there was passion and ignorance, but these doorkeepers are saying, oh, you're in Maya. You're in passion and ignorance. So we see this with devotees sometimes. A devotee will be in passion and ignorance, and he'll accuse, "Oh, you're in passion and ignorance." So this is a possibility also. That's the perception of the Kumaras. Yes.
Their opinion would change.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They were
gyanis. They were gyanis, and you know, gyanis, they think everything is Maya. Everything is passion and ignorance. Everything, and they avoid. They're like rejecting the material world. They're rejecting everything. It's all passion and ignorance. So goodness, they accepted. So when they went to Vaikuntha, it was their jnani mentality also. That, oh yes, passion, ignorance. But then at the end they said, oh, we cursed faultless souls. Then they realized, oh, we made a mistake. Why did we curse these people? We shouldn't have done it. And then they changed from jnanis to devotees. And they said, oh, we're ready to go to hell if we can just simply chant and hear your glories. Yeah. Yeah, it's not necessarily that there's passion and ignorance, but the Kumaras are perceiving it that way because of their jnani mentality. Yeah, the curse worked even in Vaikuntha.
For Kumaras themselves, they couldn't enter into the Vaikuntha.
No.
Actually, they didn't enter into the Vaikuntha.
No, they couldn't go.
Now,
the curse worked because it had the approval of the Lord. The Lord said, yes, I approve this curse, so therefore it works. If it doesn't work, yeah, then the Brahman's prestige will be... He upholds the Brahmana's words. Yeah, so this is a very complex, complex lila. Yes, now they're devotees. Yes.
So now they are also traveling somewhere.
Yes, they are devotees.
They
have their own planet, yes. They have their own sampradaya. They are the head of the sampradaya, yes. Yeah, well, the reason why they were upset is because they perceived an impediment in their devotional service. And they wanted to see Vishnu. And so then they just couldn't tolerate that. Rupa Goswami's brother is one of the four Kumaras. Oh, Anupam. Anupam? Gorga Nilesh Deepika. Okay. Okay, look it up. Whoever has Gorga Nilesh Deepika can look it up. No, the yogis. Yeah. So the question is why gatekeepers in Vaikuntha? Because the yogis can reach. Because there's doorkeepers. Yeah, because the doorkeepers throw them. They throw them down. That's their service. Why should Vishnu?
It is level of consciousness.
No, they have a level of.
Durvasa went in there?
Yeah, Durvasa, he went.
He and
Shantaras. No, Durvasa went and the doorkeepers let him in, but not in the case of the Kumaras. But Durvasa could not stay.
The
doorkeepers stuck.
No, cannot.
Yes. Yeah, they check Lakshmi Devi. Sometimes they make mistakes in their service. Yes. Hari Purush. Jiva Goswami's interesting comment. Let's hear it. On what?
38,
okay. Okay, oh, this is for his question. There is no Rajas and Tamas. Yeah, right. Yes, yes. So, tamas. Yeah, I picked that up too. What is
that
they're in sattva? Okay, so that's a good point. Jiva Goswami makes that. He said that they said the Kumaras said there's no rajas and tamas, which means that they think sattva is okay, and they might be contaminated by sattva. And because they were contaminated by sattva, then the fault may arise that they cursed. They became angry and they cursed the gatekeepers because they were still contaminated by sattva. Yes. When Vishnu came, they repented.
And he kind of supported the Jayavijaya because he didn't invite them in.
Right.
Yes,
he supported Jayavijaya because he came out to see the problem. He didn't invite them in for lunch or whatever. But they stayed at the door. They weren't yet qualified to come in. Then they smelled the tulsi leaves. Okay, happy ending. They became devotees of the Lord. But they are also a special shakti of the Lord. They're his jnana shakti. His jnana shakti, empowered jnana shakti. But, I mean, I would see it as a warning to jnanis that, you know, don't be so proud of your jnana shakti. You have to become devotees as well. You may fall down. You may become angry and curse somebody. Any other questions or comments? Oh, the three? No, she had a trident in the chest. Itch of passion is a second. And one is itch of passion. It means lust, I would say lust. Itch, if you feel, yeah. But generally that means sex life in spiritual context. Itch of passion. Passion means you want to enjoy. And the other one was a trident in the chest. And the third one, I can't remember right now. Does anybody remember? With? Oh, I got it, yeah. The serpent of time on the head. Serpent of time on the head. And that was one. And so that's Maya attacking us. You feel pain in the heart. Feel time on your head. Itch of passion. It's Maya attacking. And keeping you in control. Maya's weapons. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll stop here. We're 15 minutes early today. You can enjoy for 15 minutes. Yes. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Adi Purush has something. Okay, he looked up Gaura Ganadesha Deepika about Anupam. It's Sanatan Goswami. Okay.
Sanatan Kumar, the jewel among the sages, entered the body of Sanatan Goswami, who is therefore also considered to be an incarnation of Sanatan Kumara.
Sanat Kumara. Sanatan is an incarnation of Sanat Kumara. Okay. On top of being higher than that. Labangala Manjari. Labanga Manjari.
Although he says in the previous verse that Kashinath, Lokanath, Srinath, and Ramnath were the four Kumaras. Of this, there is no doubt.
Okay, there you have it. Same person says something different in two different verses. No, he went in both. Sanat Kumara went in both bodies. That's not a problem for them. We'll talk about that next week, how the devotees expand. How devotees, yes, how we can, how devotees expand their themselves. We'll discuss that in one of our classes next week.
Huh?
Yes, we have to expand. We have to expand. Prashanta needs to expand.